Man, this is a wonderful. Hey, you know what? I'm so glad that you called me back, man. And I just want to tell everybody I'm talking to the greatest of all time. That's Cary Campbell, the world-renowned tenor saxophone, alto saxophone, all those horns. And man, you truly are the greatest. I'm glad to know you, and I'm glad that we met, man. But what's going on, man? I heard you missed you at the International Jazz Festival this year in Phoenix, you know, with Doc. So
yeah,
we just chopping it up, man.
It was a wonderful experience. We had a full house, and each year it was getting bigger and bigger. And the performance was good, and everybody was on top of their game.
Man, well, look, you know what? I'm going to let you do most of the talking, man, but we're just going to chop it up right from here. You know, when people listen to a lot of my old records that I recorded back in L.A., and they hear that saxophone playing on there, they always say, man, who is that playing that sax? And there were actually two horn players that I really worked with back in the day, and that was yourself, Cary Campbell, and John Stevens. And of course, John, he did a lot of arrangements for Shalimar, a couple other groups, man. But you go way back, we go way back farther than that, man. I know you came up playing with Dramatics and everybody else, didn't you? Go ahead.
12 years with the Dramatics, saxophone and music director. Yeah, I was with them from the beginning.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right, man. That's amazing. I think you was with him when they had Ouija singing, right?
What you see is what you get with those big hits.
Yeah, because he was the original one on that song, wasn't he, man?
Yeah, 1973.
Is that right, man? Wow, wow, wow.
1 year out of high school.
Man, that was a long time ago. You was in Detroit, I was in Chicago, working with Tyrone Davis and them and, you know, all the Chicago greats, man. But tell me, man, from then until now, what's the difference, man, in what's going on here, you know, with this music? Can you compare the times back then and then come up to now?
Yeah. Well, back then, there was an infrastructure built in place in America for live groups to do concerts, club dates in every city and in every state. So when you got a hit, or even a nominal hit, or were just a regional hit, you had work and could get paid and make a living for yourself. There wasn't a time in any month where there wasn't a concert going on somewhere in the United States and a cat could go out and make money. Of course, the difference between then and now is there's a huger venue. The infrastructure isn't there the way it was. The concert arenas now are places like America West Arena and the big stadiums. Now, we did a few of those throughout the year, but we never got the kind of money the kids getting today. They get million-dollar contracts. They get absolute tour support that does not come out of their royalties. And their record deals, they get unprecedented amounts of money. You know, a guy who had a hit back in those days, he's lucky if he got a $10,000 advance. And so, and that's only for the groups today, the superstars get that kind of money. But, you know, a guy who had just a medium hit, they didn't get millions and millions of dollars. It's just ridiculous. Now, and then they come out with this America Got Talent and the other thing, what is it, with the four judges that nobody even heard of or met in life, and they're sitting up, they even got a comedian, Howie Mandel, and the other dude, Howard Stern,
the voice,
a radio DJ. Now, that qualifies you to be a judge. They don't have any musicians. They don't have any producers or Rangers on there to be a judge. So it's an insult on that level. But here's where it really gets ridiculous now. They'll study and they'll go through the rigors for 6 months and judge it down to the finalists. The finalists, when they get done, they get a 2-year record contract, $1 million. They fly them around in Lear jets, and then they become a superstar in 6 months. Whereas you had to sacrifice your whole childhood to get good. You had to go through all kinds of oppressions and browbeating mm-hmm. to get into the market mm-hmm. just to get a gig. But these kids, they come out 6 months later, they're huge. And it took Michael Jackson years before they started riding around in limousines and Lear jets. You see what I mean?
Man, so come on. You know,
they're getting Michael Jackson status in 6 months. So that's the difference.
That is the difference. And I just want to jump
actually,
in
we actually
and weigh in on that.
Yeah.
Years ago when we was in L.A., I remember when the Gap Band was riding the bus. Charlie was all, you know,
rode,
I mean, this
we
one person,
rode the
man,
bus.
Man, we all rode the bus. We had to catch the bus to the studio and do a bunch of things. But, you know, in reference to what you said, it's one thing that they don't tell you when you come up with all these million-dollar numbers. They don't tell you that they're charging that to your promotion account and all that. It's going to come out your money. You know,
but
sure,
they still make
got big money.
Millions. We didn't make millions.
Right. They didn't make. We didn't make millions back there because I was in Chicago. We was going to the Regal. You was in Detroit going to the Grand. You know,
but
the Fox, all them theaters over there.
But hold on,
we weren't making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. But here's the real kick in the head. They get $1 million status off of singing our songs.
Oh man, don't you boy, that's something else.
Let me finish this. We had to create the songs to make our money. They go out mm-hmm. and sing somebody else's. They don't have to create nothing.
There you go.
We had to go out and hire light men, sound men, and the equipment. They get all of that and then they shoot it out to 60 million people in one day. We didn't have that.
We sure didn't. We had to actually play, and we had to actually hone our craft and play over and over and perfect our skills every day.
Hire somebody to teach you the steps. We had to learn the word. We had to have a whole show. These boys go on, they play a record and sing to it, standing in one spot. And in one spot and become a superstar. Now, the difference between today and yesterday is we mm-hmm. earned it. They are giving it to them.
That's true. That's true. You know,
and not one
it's
of
so
them,
easy.
Not, it, yeah.
Now,
not one of them will be remembered 20 years from now. Who was the first winner of America's Got Talent? You don't know. They come, they go. They come, they go. It's like a throwaway razor.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
Sure
they going to remember Shalamar. They're going to remember the Dramatics, OJs, Marvin
mm-hmm.
Gaye. They go because they created it.
Well, you know what, man? Being an artist, and I know it has always been my dream to be a recording artist, and I know, but I asked myself, you know, why do I want to do this? Why? And then I figured it out. When I realized that the artists that we looked up to, the Marvin Gaye's and the you know all the traditional historical artists, they achieved immortality with their music and their craft, and that's something that I guess we were seeking, not even knowing that we were seeking that, you know. And it wasn't until I got older till I realized that that's what I was seeking. I want people to remember who we were as artists, you know.
We made a real contribution to our existence, and our
mm-hmm.
music reflected the times in which we lived. The people today, they're just throwing out formula songs or remakes of things that were already done, and it's nothing that'll be remembered.
Who are some of the people that you played with, man, that you really, really liked and you really knew that they were going to be immortal? Who are some of those people that you played with like that?
Well, Marvin Gaye, Bobby Womack, Johnny Taylor, the Manhattans, Dramatics, War. I knew War was definitely going to be because they were unique with their sound and everything. I even played with Carole King when she did It's Too Late. When that record hit, man, who knew that this woman would be forever remembered?
A premier writer, a premier songwriter. And when you go back to War, that's where we really met, because remember, I was working at United Artists in their studio right on 3rd Street in Beverly Hills. And Bert Agudelo said, oh, I got this sax player. He's good. And you came in, played some stuff. Oh, man. We go back, way back to there, man. And you were, I mean, you were just, you sound just as good now, probably better than you did back then. But you got a signature sound. And I played with some sax people, with some horn players. But you have an identity in your craft. You know, like a lot of the famous horn players, man. I really appreciate that.
Well, that's what we strive for. You know, we want it to be unique. We want it to be special. And you actually practiced hard and took your knocks and to get that. And we did it for the love of the art. You know what I mean? We didn't do it for the money. We would have liked to have been paid for it. You know, when I think back on it, but more importantly, we did it because we loved what we did. You know, it's like a bird. Why do a bird sing? He don't get birds get paid, but he sings every day.
Sing every day, don't he?
That's like us. So it was something we were born to do, and we didn't do it with the mindset, I'm going to be remembered. We did it to be the best we could, and we wanted to do the work. And the fallout from that was we achieved the immortality that you speak of.
Exactly, man. And, you know, when I saw you out here, when I first moved out here and ran into you again, I said, Gary, man, I had been looking for you. And first thing that we did, we hooked up. And I know we played a couple of live things, and, you know, you was playing with Doc Jones at his, you know, at his club and stuff like that. But when you came over to the studio and you recorded with me New Jack Steppin', man, I know you might think that that's a small thing, but I happen to know, man, that those kinds of records and sessions that we did, that's what's going to make us immortal. That's part of our immortality right there, because we still continue to do stuff on an original basis, and those original songs, you know, you put that sax on that New Jack Steppin', it ain't blew up yet, but, you know, there's some stuff coming up, some irons are in the fire right now about my whole catalog, and I've been kind of, you know, laid back and silent about it, but it's getting ready to bust open, you know, so I wanted to call you and talk to you about that and let you know, man, you just hold on, keep the faith, keep playing, and one of these days, okay, you know, you're going to say, man, finally got blessed, just like what you're saying. You know, go back to them artists that you were talking about when you were talking about the Tchaikovsky and all those artists that came before us. We don't know, but some of them did the same thing. They played for years, didn't get paid.
Yeah, it's really, really unfortunate that happened. And I was saying, I've read a lot of books, biographies about these artists. Like, I just recently read about Mozart, Wagner, and these guys, and Bach. They used to pay Bach with wood so he can have fire to keep the house warm. Wagner was a great composer, but he never got a chance to earn money. He always borrowed money to pay all his bills for the year and then write a concert and give it to the person that was supporting him to pay his bills. So he never got directly paid. Mozart got paid but it was so little, and they worked the mess out of him, and he died so broke that he was put in an unmarked grave with 100 people and no gravestone. And I was just saying, you know, it would be time now that artists like that should get paid. But they, you remember everything about Mozart and all those great writers, but you don't remember nobody else that was in living in that period.
Right.
That's how great they were. And it's 200 years later, you still love his music and call out his name. Name me one other person that lived in that time. Name me the king and all those people that lived there. You don't remember none of them.
I can't think of them. I can't think
you,
of them.
But you remember.
I can't call it.
You remember one man out of a million people. You remember one name, Mozart. You remember Wagner. You remember Beethoven. But they did not get paid. All the rest of those people were rich. But you remember these poor people. But I would think society should flip the script sometime and let us get paid. It's one thing to be immortal, and that's good to know that 500 years from now they'll still remember Cecil Holden, they'll remember Cary Campbell. But right here, right now, it would be just fantastic to have money.
Man, tell me about it. I just had to file suit with all of the collection agencies that collect the royalties over in Europe and so forth, and hopefully they'll be distributing some royalties. And when they do, I'll make most certainly sure that you get your share from New Jack Steppen and all the stuff that we've done. You know, and that's a commitment that I've had in my mind. You know, ever since we started, I'm like you, man. We've worked in the vineyard. You know, we've sold a lot of musical seeds, and we have not reaped the financial benefits, you know, according to our labor. But I believe that one day that we will receive that, we'll receive financial gain, and most importantly, we'll receive immortality, because every artist, like you say, and every musician does not receive that immortality or money. And we're right in a position to receive that. Man, you know, Cary, you up there with all the greats, man, with all the greats, you know. And, I know it don't pay the bills, but guess what? It does give life a thrill.
It's wonderful, and I'm very appreciative, and I'm grateful to the Creator that he gave me such a level of ability, and that I had honed, and my responsibility was to develop it, and I did. And I did it to the best of my ability, and I still do. But
where's your next gig coming up? You got some shows that's coming up, you know, because we just chopping it up right now. You got some shows coming up. I know you was at the Crescent Ballroom with Doc a couple of weeks ago.
I have a few things coming up. It's a lot of private affairs now, exclusive things. I understand that Ward might reassemble and do a reunion, tour, and they're thinking about recording and videotaping that as a documentary of our last go-around. So that might materialize. And that'll be worldwide.
Well, that's good, man. Just keep on going, man. And we're going to, you know, we're just going to keep on rolling. Like I said, I'm going to Chicago in a couple of weeks to do a little annual concert that I do there. Mm-hmm. And then I'm back here on the radio, man. But when I think about the greatest of all time, and I hear that song, you know, for some reason, you come to mind, you know, as a world-renowned, you know, saxophonist. And you know, we're going to stay up and do that. Hopefully we can do some more work, you know.
Well, I'm or to it, like they say, it's not over to the fat lady sing, and I don't think she's waking up to sing yet, so.
She ain't even warmed up yet, you know what I'm saying? We still got some time to go. At this age, man, we still got our skills, Man, a lot of our artists are gone now. Even some of the ones that you named that you've played with. Dramatics, mm-hmm. some of your friends are gone. Marvin Gaye, a lot of people are gone. You know,
yes,
and we still here.
Yeah, well, we're in the season now, in the age where mm-hmm. every other week or every other month or once a year you hear about another colleague that then passed on. But
right.
We're here, and that's to be expected. That's life. But we're healthy. We're sound mentally. We're sound physically, and we're sound musically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that society would scoop us up and say, you know, this is the last of an era.
Mm-hmm.
We're like national treasures. Let's dust them off and put them up there where they belong to be seen before it's all over. Because they're not going to make another generation like us. The next generation, there's always going to be songwriters and song creators, but society, the world, and the neighborhoods are not the same that it caused us to produce that kind of music. You see what I'm saying? So, because things are better, things are easier, so people don't have that pressure on them, and therefore the music is not an outlet for that emotion, like Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. That
mm-hmm,
was about
mm-hmm.
fun stuff. It was about what's going on in your neighborhood. It's what's
mm-hmm.
going on with war. And
mm-hmm.
that's what made great songs. So
but no computer, that's for sure.
And society is not going to go back to those conditions that produced those songs. So it was a one-of-a-kind situation that produced the level of artistry and artists that existed then. You see what I mean? So it's the last of a generation, man. We are the last of it, man. When we leave, all they got is records to remember and copy. But they should round us up, put us out there, man, as national treasures, because we are the last of it. It's like when you get down to the last French fry. If you eat the last one...
With ketchup on it, huh?
The last one. You try to make it yeah. last. So they get us, dress us up, put us out there, and let us give you what we got, because what you're getting is authenticity. You're getting the real deal. You ain't getting no processed meat. You're getting the real
meat. That's what
meat.
I'm talking about.
Mm. Mm. You see what I mean? It's the real thing.
Yep. The real deal. Well, you're definitely a national treasure. Or should I say, not just national, but a world-renowned treasure of talent on that saxophone. I am glad that I was able to work with you, you know, and be in the studio with you and record with you and have you record on some of my music.
Yeah,
and
so let's look at it.
It's going to last forever.
In the 64 billion years the world has existed, has there ever been a Cecil Holden before you? No.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's amazing, man. And I thought about
and
that. Out of all the people in the world, they're going to pick me.
And out of 64 billion years, when you go, there'll never be enough. They might come along a guy that's similar with the same name, but there'll never be a Cecil Holden born that went through what you went through to produce the music you produced. There will never, ever be, until the world stops spinning, be another you. And the thing
well, thank you,
make,
bro.
Because let me just show how special that is. Everything you do is unique. In 64 billion years, it took for the world to produce you. For you to come along and do anything is substantially great.
Well, you know what? Just briefly, I had to tell this story, man, that when I went to Hollywood – from Chicago, I was recording at Chess Records, working with all them people, and then I went to Hollywood to record. And when I got out there, the people wanted me to sign my soul over for fortune and fame. And I said, you know what? That's what I'm not about that. I'm about original music, and I'm not going to sell my soul for fortune and fame. So they basically told me, okay, well, we're going to make sure that we block you. So they did. But then,
yeah, they,
like you said, Carrie, I came out with my own product, my own style, my own songs. And I said, you know what? I don't care because I'm going to do it. I'm going to be original, and this is what I'm going to do. And I'm sticking to that right now. And, you know, if we can be recognized for that being original, me and you and the few original artists that are left, then I think that's great, man, that we've went through the fire. We stuck it out, you know, and that's what's going to make us immortal.
Mm-hmm. And that's
you got to go through something to be. Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through something because what you put out there says something. It represents you and everything about you. And the only person that can tell the story about you is you. Nobody can tell it better than you.
Well, we telling it, and you told some of yours, and I told a little bit of mine, man. And we're gonna chop it up again, man. But we're gonna get off the phone conference right now. Is there anything else you want to say to the people? Do you have a website that's active right now?
Well, I'm pretty active on Facebook. If they want to look me up there, it would be Carrie Sachs, or just go in there and search for Carrie Campbell. And if you go on Google and Google Carrie Campbell, there's quite a bit of information that'll come up there. You can also find me on YouTube. There's quite a bit of things that goes way back. If you want to see some of my independent stuff when I had my record label in Detroit and see some very funny videos with the hair that looked like a pom-pom.
I know that's right.
I think the sci-fi movie makers went back and looked at our outfits and said, yeah, well, let's dress them like that because it was kind of out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm telling you.
So it's good that those things exist, Facebook and Google and YouTube, because a lot of things that we have forgotten about, they're finding and putting it up there. So that's an immortality that's going to be around for a while. The advent of records and then now these computer things, sites, they have found us and will be here for all eternity. So 3,000 years from now, they'll still stumble upon us, which is beautiful. You know, all the people that held us down, they won't remember them, but they will.
That's right. Oh, man, you said a mouthful right there. The ones that held us down ain't going to be remembered, but we will.
That's one beautiful thing, because I was telling you earlier, nobody remembers out of 1,000 or 1,000,000 people that lived the whole Mozart and them down, but you remember Mozart. So if there's one consolation, that's the consolation. They're going to remember us.
They will.
You're going to know my name. They're going to remember you. They're going to remember me. But I bet you ain't nobody looking for the people that was holding us back. Nobody's going to search to look for them, and they'll never even accidentally pop up.
Boy, you said a mouthful.
If they did pop up, they ain't got nothing good to say about them. This is the man that held this man back. This is the man that held that man back.
Mm-hmm.
But when they read about you and they read about me, this is what these people did in spite of it.
Well, man, thanks for just sharing a little bit of your history and your past, you know, with your brother right here, and I appreciate that. Thanks for playing on the songs that we did, New Jack Steppin' and Love Was the Call. I'll always love you when you hear that sax and stuff like that, man. And we're going to talk again. This is just our first little conference, and I will say the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come.
Beautiful.
Okay?
I like it.
And we're still doing it, okay?
What's your question before we sign off?
Yeah.
Now, who is this being broadcast to?
It's not being broadcast to anybody. It's on my website, homeboymusic.net. I have a library, so I'm putting all of my constituents and all of the people that I recorded with in my library, because We're going to be immortal. This is part of our immortality. When they click on Cecil Homeboy, homeboymusic.net, Cecil Holden, and all that, they're going to see who's immortal.
Can I ask you again, what is the website?
Homeboymusic.net.
Got it. Okay.
You can pull it up right now. There's a library, and this conversation will probably be in there in a day or so. Okay, and I'll try to get a picture of you that, you know, just a still picture, you and I talking. And it's going to be part of your immortality.
Homeboymusic.net. Thanks for making me immortal.
Hey, thank you for helping me be immortal, okay? And we're going to continue this later, man. And, man, you have a good evening, whatever that might be. And I will get back to you real soon. And as soon as the ship come in, you got a ticket on it, bro.
Right on, man. I like the way that sounds.
All right?
All right, Cecil. Yep.
Man, from my heart, you be blessed, okay?
Thank you, Cecil.
All right, bye.